The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hi, friends. This is Pastor Ed Boston, and I wanted to talk to you just for a minute or two here before we start into today's podcast. For the last few months, we've done things a little bit differently. I think we've all done most things in our life differently since COVID hit back in, not sure exactly when it hit. I know we've done things a little bit differently since the middle of March. And so wanted to get back to where our roots are. And one of the parts of what we've done throughout the years is to play interviews with people, religious topics, good, wholesome family entertainment topics. And so that's what we got today. Marcy Hinna is going to talk about the movie When We Last Spoke, a very family-oriented film, and we just are excited to be back in the interview business, and we just hope that this one is one that resonates with you, and there will be more to come. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, folks. Welcome to today's podcast, and we are privileged to have an author. Marcy Hinna is with us. Hi, Marcy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. We're going to just jump right in today. Tell us about the movie When We Last Spoke.
I'd be glad to. Primarily, it is in 1967 during the height of the Vietnam War, when a father of a family of four is sent off to Vietnam, and his wife is not too happy about it. She's a former Broadway star, and she's looking out in the yard seeing two really rambunctious kids fighting as usual, and she just isn't a good housekeeping seal kind of approval mom, and she decides she wants to go back to Broadway. And so without warning her in-laws that she's about to dump her kids on them, she just puts them in the car and then appears at the Cranbourne family residence. And by the way, Ruby is played by Melissa Gilbert, and the grandfather is played by Corbin Burnson. So she drops them off on their front doorstep, and the family just receives them with a lot of love and grace. Mind you that this is not what they plan to do at this point of their lives. Walt is a rancher, and Ruby is a homemaker and a blue ribbon gardener and a former champion fiddler. But they still pull themselves together, and they turn out to provide a really lovely home for the girls. And just when they're getting their feet under them and getting in a good stride, along comes the great-grandmother of the story, played by Cloris Leachman, and she's dumped off in their house too. And she's got dementia, and she's thinks she's Emily Dickinson one day and Eleanor Roosevelt another. And she quotes Emily Dickinson, by the way. And Cloris is just so funny in this role. Anyway, laughter abounds and tears too, and it's just a challenging situation, and it's a journey that is about love and about loss and redemption and forgiveness, and it's for audiences of all ages.
Now, this started, you wrote it as a novel and have turned it into a movie. What made you decide to take that on?
Well, I always saw it as a movie the whole time that I was writing. I saw it in a very visual way, and I always had it in my heart kind of to make family entertainment that was good for all ages. And so that was always the plan for me. And I really didn't know in the beginning how I was going to go about that. But what happened was the month that my book was about to be released, I saw a book trailer on Facebook. And within 5 minutes, I decided I wanted to make a book trailer. So I hired a film crew, and within a month we were filming. And after I floated it up on Facebook, it caught the attention of Fred Miller, who is one of the producers in the movie. And he and his wife read the book and then came to me and asked if I'd be interested. So that's how we got started.
Oh, wow. And that must be very fulfilling for you to see your novel turned into a film.
It was very, it's so moving for me. I was on set every day while it was being filmed, and I can't even begin to put into words how wonderful that was. And the writers had done such an absolutely fantastic job, and see the cast really, really rising to the occasion and pulling off these roles in such a beautiful way was so fulfilling.
And you've got quite the all-star cast.
We do. We have stars for all over this cast. We have, as I mentioned, Corbin Burnson plays Walt. Melissa Gilbert plays Ruby. Cloris Leachman plays Itasca. Our two young stars are Darby Eliza Camp and Chandler Head. And both those little girls have quite long resumes. They've been in everything from Chandler's been in the Glass Castle, The Right Stuff, Fosse Verdon, I think is the name of one of the movies. And Darby Camp has been in, oh my goodness, she's been in Little Big Lies and Clifford, The Big Red Dog, and Christmas Chronicles. So they're very well known.
As a matter of fact, when I posted the poster of your movie on my site, a friend of mine who works in promoting entertainment, Darby Camp, said he promoted her Netflix movie last year, Santa Chronicles.
Yes.
So I just thought it was interesting. I put that up and he messaged me just within a few minutes. So most people know Corbin Burnson and Melissa Gilbert and Cloris Leachman, but then you get into the younger and you really do have quite the all-star cast. And so
that's correct. And I was going to add just a little footnote onto Darby Camp. What you might like to know is that the woman who plays the adult version of her in the 1987 time period that we kind of switch back and forth to between 67 is actually played by her natural mother, Lacey Camp. And so it's really fun to have those two in the same role, you know, playing the different time periods.
Talk for a second about how not all families look the same.
Right. Well, I think this is commonplace today, and it actually has been happening all through time, where kids may not be always raised by their biological parents. They may be raised by grandparents or aunts and uncles. They may be adopted. And that was important to me. I'm an adoptive parent. We have three older children, and then we adopted our youngest child. And our family picture is it's varied. And to me, it's a beautiful family. And I just want people who, no matter what their family situation is, that to know that their family is to be cherished and to be honored and to be loved.
Tell us a little bit about some of your other books that you've written over the years.
Sure. The sequel to this came out last fall, What Lies Ahead. And it really does pick up just the day after when we last spoke leaves off. So I'm working on the screenplay with director Joanne Hawk as we speak.
Oh, wow. As I was going through things, I found Fireside, Texas. Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a second.
Well, Fireside is the fictitious town that this story takes place in. And it is somewhat based on a little town that I lived in when I was in high school in the Texas Hill Country named Johnson City. So in the story, you could see that some of the buildings are the same. Of course, when it's on film, we didn't film in Texas. We filmed in Georgia. But Fireside is just small town America. It's a warm and cozy place. And it's a little town with a lot of humor. And you'll see that in the movie on the station KOFF broadcast. And you'll also be interested to note that our young stars are actually the DJs in the 1967 time period.
Did you draw any inspiration from your own family or friends, in addition to what you said earlier about being an adoptive parent? Any inspiration from people that you were real close to?
Well, sure. Although the main story in the movie is completely fiction, there are many small moments that are quite real that came from my family history. And just to give you kind of the background on how I kind of came into writing and why that's important to me. And also the people who made an impression on me, and I have to point back to my grandparents. Mm-hmm. We lived on this ranch in the Hill Country that's been the family since the 1800s. And my grandfather, they lived just about a mile down the road from us. We saw them almost every day. And he loved to tell stories. And he would, you know, after lunch, maybe we'd all be full, we'd go into the living room. And he sat in this old chair with rollers on an office chair, and he would lean up against the wall. And every day I'd be thinking, oh my goodness, I'm afraid he's going to fall down and hurt himself, because he would just be balancing on two wheels. But he would start telling stories about his family history that had come down to him from generations. And sometimes they're about Texas Rangers. They might be about settlers. They might be about this individual or that group. You never knew. But he loved to tell stories. And so I would sit there spellbound for hours. Just loved it, loved it. And so when my grandparents passed away, I wanted to do something that would preserve their memories in a way that wouldn't pass away with them. And so after they passed, I began writing the Fireside series. And so they are part of the inspiration of, behind my characters of Walt and Ruby, although not every part is about them or from them. But I did use their hobbies, the way they spoke, their colloquialisms, just their heights even. I mean, you know, in the story, Walt is very tall and Ruby is like 5 feet with her shoes on. And it was kind of funny to watch my grandparents really every time they would hug. My grandmother would look straight into his stomach because that's where her eye level was. He was just so much taller. It was quite funny to see that. So that's really kind of, they were my inspiration, truthfully. Right.
Good. And that's one of those stories that just make you smile the whole time you're listening to it. I love talking about influences in people's life that are just hard for them to forget. They can't forget. Now, the two sisters dependent upon each other during this time, talk about how siblings many times have to depend on each other in turbulent times in their life.
Well, I think sometimes when the parents kind of fall away for some reason, they become the stronghold of the family, and they do stick together, although they may really fight a lot.
Right.
They still, when push comes to shove, they support each other, and they cling to each other. And I think that is, I mean, it's definitely true in this movie. And I see this in adoptive situations sometimes as well.
And a lot of times you see it in very normal situations. I think about my grandkids, and some of my favorite pictures I see of them is when they've got their arms around each other and smiling, which was probably 30 seconds after they were fighting. But
right. Isn't that the way it works?
Yes, it is.
That's so true.
I remember one time my two older grandchildren locked themselves in the attic. And they were there for quite a while. And when I found them, the sister was the older of the two. And she was just hugging her little brother so tight, because I asked her later, she said, "I wasn't sure if we was getting out of there, Papaw." But she was hugging her brother.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. And the rest of the time they could be fighting, as you say.
Yeah.
That is so precious and so normal.
Now, I think your movie looks at a silver lining in every situation. You mentioned great-grandmother got dropped in. You're talking about four different generations in your movie. But there can be a silver lining in every situation, can't there?
Well, there can. I mean, on one side, one of the quotes I heard one time, and I think it's so true, sometimes our greatest tests come to us in the form of family. And certainly that was going on in the Cranbourne family in this movie. But even though they all have difficult situations, I mean, two little girls who are abandoned and who ultimately lose their father, the grandparents have to struggle over the loss of their son and coping with becoming parents and coping with a great grandmother who's very difficult who has dementia and love. She's just really pretty honoring in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But as they all grow together and grow to love one another and go through various situations together, they get to know the true person hiding inside of the shell. And they become deeper people throughout the process.
Now, there is another showing of the movie on the 29th, and what happens after that showing?
Well, we are really fortunate because there was such good interest, a lot of interest in our movie, and a lot of good buzz. We were asked to double the amount of days that we're going to be in theaters, so not only are we showing tomorrow night the 29th, but we're showing the 30th and the 31st, so that the times for the tomorrow night and on Friday night are 7 p.m. and on Saturday it'll be 5 p.m. And after that, people will be able to find us a little bit later on from the television sets.
Strange timing in with the virus and everything, and many movie theaters shut down for long periods, right. But you are fortunate in that you were able to get this in.
We are. You know, things are different right now for anyone in this business, you know, and I know that, you know, Regal has temporarily closed mm-hmm. down, yeah. But AMC and Cinemark are still open, and there are boutique theaters that are open, and so we are blessed to be in them.
How do our listeners get tickets and find out where they can see the movie?
If they go to fathomevents.com, they'll be able to purchase tickets there. They can also see a movie trailer there. If they would like to, they can check out more about the movie as well, and also about my books on my website, which is www.marcyhenna.com. And if they look up videos there, they'll be able to see several videos that are related to the movie.
What do you want to leave us with today on the movie or anything in general?
Well, I just want to say that this show, I think, is going to be such a kind of cathartic experience for people. I think no matter what they've been through, they're kind of come out feeling a little bit better after having been with us for 2 hours in the theater. They're going to have the chance to laugh and to cry and to find a kind of a spiritual ground. In a sense, they're going to feel better all the way around when they come out.
Well, we are talking with Marcy Hinna. The movie is When We Last Spoke. We are so glad that you were able to join us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I've loved being with you.
We hope you enjoyed the time we spent talking with Marcy Hinna about the movie When We Last Spoke. We enjoyed our time, and as we always do with interviews, we will finish with a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity that I had to talk with Marcy. Thank you for the work that she's put in as an author and now moving into taking her books into movie form. Bless her life, bless her family, bless her work. And Father, we just thank you that you give us the opportunity to spend a little time together. We ask all of these things and say all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again, folks. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.